Welcome to the Stonebridge Community Church online worship service. Today you'll hear the Word of God read, the message from this weekend's in-person service, and two songs to guide you in worship. Thanks for joining us today.
If you're new or visiting with us, I'm Pastor John, the senior pastor here at Stonebridge. Well, I was going to see if I even need it today. And before we look at the sermon, I want to invite you all, as we've been doing the last few weeks, into our partnership with Sarah's House and remind you of the opportunities that we have to come alongside the work that Sarah's House is doing. Pastor Jonathan mentioned the golf tournament at the beginning of the service, but we have other opportunities as well. And just by way of reminder, for those of you who might not be familiar, Sarah's House is a local nonprofit, and they work with women and children who are making changes in their lives, going through a period of transition and trying to reach a healthier place. And Sarah's House has done really good work in our community for a very long time. We've partnered with them for much, much longer than I've been here at Stonebridge, much longer than many of us have been here at Stonebridge. And during these next 4 weeks, we have opportunities to partner alongside them in very concrete ways. The first that's already been mentioned is our golf tournament. The proceeds of the golf tournament go to Sarah's House. That's why we're doing it, is to come alongside our mission partner and support them. So come and join us in that. If you're a golfer, come and golf. If you're not, come to the after party and purchase a ticket for that. And if you're not a golfer, as Pastor Jonathan said, pass along the information to anyone you know who is masochistic enough to be a golfer and who enjoys that type of pain. Let them know that we're doing this event and come alongside the work of Sarah's House there. But then another way to come alongside the work of Sarah's House is next weekend, Saturday. So this Saturday, actually, we're going to be going and serving at Sarah's House. And we have some space still for people to work at the actual location of Sarah's House. Come alongside and help. There are opportunities to work and still sit if that's something that you need. But there's also some opportunity to do some handiwork around the place and come alongside and really help the actual physical location where these women will be loved for and cared for and supported in. So I invite you to come alongside and sign up for that. And just know also there is lunch provided. So we'll work in the morning, and then at lunchtime we'll gather together and share a meal and celebrate the work that was done. And then the last opportunity I want to invite you into is the baby bottle campaign. You can see these baby bottles full of change up here on the table. Take one of those baby bottles, fill it up, and bring it back. And I'm going to invite you also to set it up here during the worship service, during our time of offering, as an act of worship, because giving is an act of worship. And these are opportunities for us to practice generosity, which is what we're going to be talking about this morning with the sermon. So I invite you to those opportunities with Sarah's House. And during this sermon series, we're looking at the parables of Jesus in the Gospel of Luke. And Jesus's parables, they're these stories that he tells. That's why the series is called Storytime. It's these stories that Jesus tells. They show up in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. John doesn't really have parables. But in these stories, Jesus will take the kingdom of God, which is something that is beyond human comprehension. Jesus proclaims the kingdom of God is near, that it is at hand, that it is breaking into this world, that God's reign is being established in this world. But we don't know exactly what that looks like. We can't wrap our minds around it. The kingdom of God is beyond our understanding. So to help us understand an aspect of it, Jesus takes the kingdom of God and places a story alongside it. The word parable comes from the Greek, which means to throw alongside. And these parables will have everyday parts of life that Jesus will reflect on. And it's meant to not explain fully the kingdom of God, but it's meant to reveal one aspect of the kingdom of God to us, one angle that we can understand. And the thing with Jesus' parables is, there's nearly always something that will surprise you. Sometimes it's right there on the surface, but sometimes you have to look closer and you have to dig into the parable and you have to see what it is that will surprise you there. this morning, we're looking at one of Jesus' parables that doesn't talk directly about the kingdom of God, but is more of a cautionary tale. It gives us a picture of what life looks like for somebody who isn't living with the awareness of God's kingdom breaking into this world. The mistakes that somebody can make when you aren't aware of God's kingdom in the world. So I'll be reading from Luke chapter 12, verses 13 through 21. And this parable, it's been titled the parable of the rich farmer. It's also been titled the parable of the rich fool. So I invite you to hear God's word this morning. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly. And he thought to himself, "What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God." Please pray with me. Lord, we thank you that this morning you have brought us together. You have gathered us. You're the one who has brought us to this place. And we thank you that through your scriptures and through this parable, you speak to us. So Lord, open up your word to us. Open up your scriptures to us, that we might understand what your generosity looks like, that we might partake in it, that we might practice generosity, Lord, so that our eyes can be opened to all that you have done for us, to the abundance that is there in the presence of you, Lord. Through your Holy Spirit, open up these scriptures to us now. We ask this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So as I said, this parable is called either the parable of the rich farmer or the parable of the wealthy farmer or the parable of the rich fool. And it is a cautionary tale. This is a picture of what life without God's kingdom, without an awareness of God's kingdom, looks like. This is how somebody acts and behaves without understanding that God's kingdom is breaking into this world or without understanding what it is God wants for us. But before we look too closely at the parable, I think there's something that you need to know about the Gospel of Luke. There's four different Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They all tell the story of Jesus a little differently, with different emphases. They lift up different themes. And in the Gospel of Luke, the idea of possessions and being wealthy and being rich and being poor, that's at the forefront. The other Gospels will talk about possessions. They'll talk about how we own things and what we do with the things that we accumulate and gather and our possessions. They'll talk about it, but in the Gospel of Luke, it's front and center. In fact, it even carries over into the book of Acts. The book of Acts is really just Luke volume 2. Most scholars believe that Luke and Acts were written by the same author, and the themes carry over. But right there at the beginning of the Gospel of Luke, Mary, Jesus' mother, before Jesus is even born, she sings this song. And the song is meant to set for us the agenda of this gospel. And in that song, Mary says that the Lord has filled the hungry with good things, but he has sent the rich away empty. The Lord has filled the hungry with good things, but he has sent the rich away empty. And then in Luke chapter 4, Jesus talking about how he's been ordained to be the Messiah. He's been anointed to be the Messiah. Says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach good news to the poor." As you carry on in Luke, Luke chapter 6, Jesus says, "Blessed are the poor." And he doesn't spiritualize it like in the Gospel of Matthew. If you look at Matthew, Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit. But in Luke, it's simply the poor. Blessed are the poor. And then in case we miss the point, Jesus then says a few verses later, but woe to the rich. As you carry on into the book of Acts, Luke paints this picture of the early Christian community, an idealized form of what Christians should look like, how we should interact with one another. And in that picture, everybody shares the possessions that they have. Nobody is going without what they need. Everybody is cared for. Everybody has the food that they need. They're giving freely to one another so that everybody has what they need. And then in Acts chapter 5, we have another cautionary tale. It's this odd, kind of disturbing story. There's this couple in the church that Peter is in. Peter the apostle is there. And this couple goes and sells a field that they have. So they are wealthy. They have land. But they sell this field. And then they say that they gave it all to the church, but they hold back some and they lie about it. They're not honest about their wealth. They're not honest about what they're giving. So the husband does this first, and he dies on the spot. And some young men carry him out, and then his wife comes in wondering where her husband is, and then she lies in the same exact way, and she dies on the spot. And then the young men who just carried her husband out have to come in and carry her. I got to say, they had to have been pretty annoyed with Peter. I mean, first off, people are dropping like dead, and then they're the ones who have to carry him out again, carry her out again. It's an interesting, weird, disturbing story, but what I think it does is it highlights for us just how important in the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts it is that we reflect on how we use our possessions, that we reflect on our honesty about our wealth, that we reflect on the ways in which we use the things God gives us, and that we don't simply try to accumulate things for ourselves. So that's one of the central themes in the Gospel of Luke. And I have to say, there's many more examples in this gospel than I just raised for you. It is front and center. It is central. So by the time we get to the parable of the rich fool, we've already been trained to understand that this man is disconnected, that he doesn't actually understand what God is doing in this world. But when you look at this parable, there's at least one thing that is surprising to me in this. It's surprising to me that here in this picture of this man that Jesus paints for us with his words, we have somebody who is at one level completely normal and at another level completely absurd. I say he's completely normal because when you look at what he actually does, these are pretty standard business practices. This rich fool, he's not robbing anybody. He's not exploiting anybody. He's not harming anybody. He's not doing anything that we would look at today and say it's unethical. He's not doing anything that we would look at today and say it's illegal. All he is doing is farming his land well and saving up what he farms. He can't just leave it there because the land won't produce if he leaves it there. He has to cultivate the land. He has to produce from the land, and he has to have a place to store it. So all he's doing, when you look at his actions, is what most any business person does. They work. They produce. They save up. And if you're in the business of sales, you need to have supply and inventory, and you don't want to just let it all go to waste. So he saves it up, so that he can send it out. So he can make more money as well and set himself up, which is the goal for most businesses. So at one level, he's perfectly normal. This is what most any of us would do. But then at another level, there's an absurdity to this person. There's an absurdity when you look at the things that he says. I mean, first off, he's talking to himself rather extravagantly here. And I don't want to scare any of you who practice talking to yourselves. It's not the talking to yourself in and of itself that is the issue. But in the Gospel of Luke, in these characters, already before this story, there's four different times in the Gospel of Luke that Jesus calls out people who are having inner dialogues. In the Gospel of Luke, when the characters are talking to themselves, they're usually grumbling, they're usually upset about something, they're holding something back. It's a sign that you're disconnected in the Gospel of Luke when you're talking to yourself. When you're not conversing with somebody else, you're disconnected from the people around you. That's what Luke signifies with that. So this man is talking to himself. And it's a little weird the way he's talking to himself. I mean, first off, this line where he's like, I will say to myself, soul. I don't know, he's holding like the skull from Hamlet or whatever. But talking to his soul as though it's another person he can interact with. He doesn't have anyone to talk to. He doesn't have anyone else to share these plans with. He's alone and he's isolated. And not only is he talking to himself, he's actually talking to himself about how he's going to talk to himself in the future. I will say to my soul in the future. He's lost touch. He's disconnected. He doesn't have anybody in his life. So in his plans that he's laying out, he's not considering anyone else. Think about that picture of the idealized community that I just talked about in the book of Acts. How does Luke paint the picture of Christian community? It's Christians coming together, sharing their possessions with one another, caring for one another, connected in community, living life together. This man is the opposite of that. He's not considering anybody else. He's not talking to anybody else. There's nobody else that has any sort of influence or effect on him. But I think his biggest problem, at no point in all of his planning or talking to himself, does he consider God. When you look at it, what he does is normal to us at one level. But in the Gospel of Luke, it's utterly absurd to plan anything without considering God. In fact, I think that's his biggest failing in this. He fails to notice God at all. New Testament scholar Joel Green, he says that the principal deficiency of the wealthy farmer is his failure to account for God in his plans. Here's the thing. This is a cautionary tale for us. This is one of those parables that is meant to warn us. If we're not careful, we can fall into this kind of a trap. So we have to ask ourselves the question, what is it that this farmer is missing? What is it that he's missing that leads to this behavior? And it doesn't end well for him. I mean, you all heard the story. He lays out this plan. He's going to tear down his barns and he's going to build bigger ones. He has the means to do that. He has it all figured out. He's going to be happy well into his life. But then that very night he dies. And it's all for naught. And God asks him this question, all these goods you've stored up, whose are they now? Again, he doesn't have anybody to even pass this all down to. So it doesn't end well for him. What is it that he's missing? Well, he's missing, for one thing, the fact that God cares about what we do with our possessions. God is very invested in what you do with your possessions. God very much cares about what you do with your possessions. And in this parable, the answer is pretty obvious for this farmer. What's he going to do with this abundance of crops that he has? He should give it to the poor. That's Luke's answer. That's Jesus' answer. He should be giving it to the poor. He should be giving it to those who don't have anything else. But he's missing the fact that God cares about his possessions, that God wants him to be connected with other people, that God wants him to be in community. To him, his possessions are his own. He doesn't understand that anything we have, it was given to us by God. He's missing that truth. What's another thing that he's missing? Well, his business practices are normal. They would look normal to us. But God calls his followers to not just be normal. God calls us, those who would claim Jesus as Lord, to be extraordinary in our generosity, to be so generous that it stands out to the rest of the world as a symbol of what God has done for us. We're not supposed to be normal. And for those of you who run businesses, who work in a business, you're not supposed to just do the normal practices of the world. We're supposed to stand out for our generosity. That's what this farmer was missing. In God's kingdom, you're not defined by wealth, but you're defined by your generosity. That's how we're known. And the Gospel of Luke makes that clear to us. What's this man also missing? The fact that our lives are not meant to collect our possessions, as Jesus says. There's more to life than that. Our lives are meant to be lived within the will of God so that others around us can see a glimpse of God through us and have hope in the God that we worship. That's the point of life. That's what we're here to do. And he's completely missing that. So if you want to get to the end of your life and not have God call you a fool like this man, be aware of God's generosity. Be aware of the fact that whatever it is you have, God gave it to you first. You are there to steward it, to guide it, to direct the possessions that you have so that others can be taken care of and can have hope. And that's whether or not you're rich or you're poor. That's what we do with our possessions. We give back. And I think in that, it's more than just getting to the end of your life and not feeling like you've been a fool. The more and more you practice generosity, the more you institute it in your life, the easier it is to see the ways in which God has been generous to you. The more that you practice giving of what you have to others, the easier it is to understand God gives over and over again. God cares for you. God supports you. God sustains you. Practice generosity and see the changes that you'll encounter in your own life. See the ways in which your eyes are opened up to the many blessings of God. See how your perspective changes over time the more you practice it. That's one of the reasons why each week at Stonebridge, we set aside time in our worship to give back to God, to practice that generosity. That's why we're in this season with Sarah's House, where we're giving you opportunities to practice generosity together, to live this out, so that you can have the chance to experience God's generosity by giving to others and seeing how God replenishes what you have, how God carries you. Practicing generosity, it frees you from the tyranny of possessions. It frees you to live in God's generosity. That's the caution here in this parable, and that's also the invitation here in this parable. Jesus is very, very clear. There's more to life than just accumulating wealth and possessions. Embrace the generosity God gives us. Model it for others, and have your eyes opened up to the love of God. Please pray with me. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the many ways that you are generous to us. We thank you for the many ways that you care for us, that you support us, that you sustain us, that you nourish us. But Lord, it is easy for us to hold on to what we have. It is easy for us to accumulate more than we actually need, to hold on to our possessions and to find our security in them. But Lord, help us to be generous. Help us to practice generosity, Lord. Help us to give of what you've given us. Lord, open up our eyes to the fact that you sustain us, that you care for us, and that you provide for us, that we might be generous with others so that they can understand who you are and embrace you.
the dawn.